This is Tuesday, June 23rd, and this is the last five of the 10 steps that we had showing us what God does with our sins to give us the ability to trust His word rather than our own emotions, especially when it comes to getting forgiveness and surrendering ourselves to the Lord regarding our past regrets and past failures. These last five are real exciting, and I'm glad to share them with you. And we'll begin the first one, where God places our sins behind His back. Let's go ahead and begin and start right away.
Failed in my marriage. I failed being a father. I failed at my job. I failed with all the promises with God. When I was a young kid, God wanted to call me into the ministry and be a missionary, and I said no to Him. And you know, now the rest of my life, I feel like I've lost God's best and all that crazy stuff. That God goes, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I've chosen to forget all of that because that's what a good dad does. A good dad never brings up a kid's past failures and sticks it in his face to constantly beat him down and discourage him. That's an abusive dad, not a good dad. And our God is better than any of the best, better than James Dobson. Know what I mean? Number six, and I never saw this one until this week, but He purposely takes our sins and puts them behind His back so He doesn't have to look at them anymore. I never saw this verse until this week. That in addition to all of this, that when you're having fellowship with God and when you're in prayer with Him and while you're trying to commune with Him, Satan is throwing up in your mind all the evil stuff that you've done in order to make you think that God is irritated at you and doesn't want to have anything to do with you, that the scripture says that while you're having an intimate fellowship with Him, that God is like taking those sins that you're digging back up again and putting them behind His back. I don't care about that. I just want to talk to you. Isaiah 38:17. It's Isaiah talking. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. How did you do that, God? For you have cast all my sins behind your back. I'm not even going to look at those things. You keep wanting to bring them up in the middle of our conversation. I'm going to take those things and put them behind my back. Why are you bringing up those things I've already forgiven? Why are you digging those things back up out of the bottom of the sea or putting together like Humpty Dumpty all these sins that I have already crushed and subdued your iniquity? Do you believe this is true? If you believe it's true, then we should never struggle with past regrets again. If we have our mind renewed to believe what God says versus what we feel. Number seven, God is omnipotent. God doesn't forget anything because you can't ever go to God and tell Him something that He didn't know or once knew but doesn't know because that doesn't make Him omnipotent. So what God does is He chooses to forget our sins and our failures. I don't even want to think about that anymore. Isaiah 43:25. God says, it's I, even I, who blots out your transgression. Well, why, God? Why do you blot out my transgression? Because I'm such a good guy? No, I do it for my own sake. I do it for me because it's my nature to do that. And I will not remember your sins. Have you ever ask God to forgive you for something, and then when you start feeling guilty about it again, you ask Him again to forgive you for something, or you make a commitment that I want to really get close to you, Lord. What, you know, what's standing between me and a deeper relationship with you? And you start thinking about a sin that you've already asked Him to forgive every time you've taken communion, and now we're taking communion again. And every time you do that, God is like, what? I mean, you keep remembering things for harm to you that I have chosen to forget as a blessing to you. Same principle in Jeremiah 31:34. He's talking about what it's going to be like when God restores His kingdom and God comes in the fullness and God really just pours Himself out on His people. And he says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Why? For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is a big one for me. I have a tendency of asking God to forgive me for stuff that I still remember, but he has chosen not to. So why am I still remembering it and bringing it back up to him if he said, I'll remember it no more? I've been plagued with this my whole spiritual life. And I remember God spoke to me in such a profound way, and I wish it had made a bigger impact than it did. When Krista was about 3 or 4 years old, we were living in Atlanta somewhere, and I had this dream, and it was like a dream, but had a, you wake up and it's not one that you forget. You knew exactly what happened. God was in that dream. And I remember that I went into the living room and Krista was crying and she was just beside herself, just weeping. Her heart was broken, about 4 years old, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I, what is it, babe? What is it? Come here. Let me give you a hug. Tell me what's going on. And she cried. And she says, well, Dad, you're not going to forgive me. If I tell you what it is, you're going to hate me and you're not going to have anything to do with me. No, no, that will never happen. You're my daughter and I love you. And tell me, let me bear this burden with you. What is it? What could have possibly happened to a four-year-old that she could have done not to think I would love her anymore? And she shared something that she did 3 weeks earlier. What? Yes, I remember that you told me not to get the milk out of the refrigerator because I was going to spill it, and I spilt it, and it messed up the whole kitchen floor, and mom had to clean it up, and I just, you're just going to hate me for that. That happened 3 weeks ago. I mean, I don't even remember that. And we cleaned it all up, and it's all over with, and why are you still overwhelmed with something that means nothing today? And it was like God was telling me, that's exactly what you do with me, Steve. You keep bringing up stuff that hurt you today that I've already forgiven yesterday and have chosen not to remember it anymore. So why don't you believe what I say? And if I've forgotten it, why don't you forget it? Because every time I bring it back up, it's like I can see God going, when did this happen? I've chosen to forget it. Why are you ruining our fellowship time by dredging up something I've already forgiven? So I have to go through this process again? You have to ask forgiveness for something that's already been forgiven? You ever done that? Number 8, it cancels out our debt. There's a penalty for sin. It's one thing to forgive sin. It's another thing to forgive the penalty of sin or the debt of sin or the fact that something has to be paid because of the sin. Christ already paid that. There is no penalty for our sins anymore. When he sees us as sinless. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's how I was, he is made alive together with him. How? By having forgiven all your trespass. I got that. You forgave my sin, but what about the consequences and the penalty that has to be paid for those sins? Verse 14, you forgave them, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us. It was a debt. Because of the sin, here's what Steve owes, a debt I can never pay. I will forgive his sin, but he still has to pay the debt. I will forgive you for that, but you still have to pay whatever for the rest of your life. That's all been canceled out because he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Nailed it to the cross. Steve's debt, take the nail that was in my wrist, pound it on the cross, there it is for every one of us. He's not only forgiven our sins, cast them behind him, stomped them, covered them, blotted them out, canceled the debt of our sin. He's done all of that. Number 9, 2 more. Here's the good one. That he not only forgives our sins, but he allows us to sin less and maybe someday sin no more. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses. It's an if-then verse. If we confess our sins, Okay, I've confessed my sins. What are you going to do about it, God? Well, first of all, he is faithful and just. That's who he is. He's righteous and he's just and he's faithful and he keeps his word and he keeps his promise and he says that he will forgive us our sins. Well, I know that. But 1 John 1:9 adds another caveat that he will not only forgive our sins, but he will cleanse us from, and the word is, all unrighteousness. I find now that when I pray and I confess my sins, that I focus more on this part. Lord, cleanse me from unrighteousness. Keep me from doing this again. Let me love you more and be filled with your spirit more so that what just happened won't happen again. He empowers us to do that. And the last one. He removes our sin. He actually takes them away. It's to cart off and to relieve a burden. And guess what verse we find that in? John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who removes from us, as taking a burden off a pack animal, so that we don't have to bow down under this self-imposed guilt, but be able to stand up as his son, takes away the sin of the world, which happens to include mine.
I hope this has been a blessing to you as we've looked at number 6 through 10, the last five of what God does with our sin. Before we close, let me review them for you one last time. God puts all our sins behind his back. God chooses to forget our sins and our failures. God cancels the debt of our sin. God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And bringing it back to John chapter 1, verse 29, God takes away or removes our sin, because that's what John said to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, I hope you've been encouraged by this to make the choice to believe God's word and not your own feelings. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but have a good evening.